Islamic Relief USA is a nonprofit organization that provides relief and development in a dignified manner regardless of gender, race, or religion, and works to empower individuals in their communities and give them a voice in the world.
You done now? Can we start the podcast?
Okay.
Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala.
It's a Water Relief podcast.
My name is Carl, and here with me...
Or Mortimon. One of those two is correct.
I have messed this up yet again.
I didn't know where you were going with all of that as well.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome once again to the Water Relief Podcast. Thank you everybody for listening, sharing, and repeating. We're loving those download numbers. We're loving the shares and the comments and just the love that you are sharing with us online. Thank you so much for everything. And, you know, I've said it a couple of times already, but I'm going to say it again. And we're even working on a special episode, and I promise it won't be a clip episode, but you're just going to have to stand by for that. But we're working on a special one-year anniversary episode, which will be super cool. But ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in 2017, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together, or not, because if you're on a subway, that'd be really weird if you just started randomly clapping, for the hardest working man in the podcast industry.
Wow! Hello, everybody. This is Mordant. That was kind of a weird, lame entrance, but it's been a while, and I've had coffee, so I'm excited to be here. Let's do this thing.
Outstanding. So, Morden, you know, we talk sometimes about where you are with your job with the Tortuga Twins and where you're traveling to. So tell us where you are right now.
I am currently on hiatus in Arizona. I'm in the Phoenix area, and I'm going to be here until the end of March, which I'll be performing in February and March. But I'm getting ready to take off to California
and
Coast Guard auxiliary stuff.
Exactly. So you're heading out on the Coast Guard auxiliary. We've talked before that I'm actually a Navy vet. We have a bigger story that we're leading to here. For those that don't know, if you didn't see the Samantha Bee piece that aired in December, Samantha Bee introduced us to a wonderful organization called Veterans for American Ideals. And Morden, I know that you're Coast Guard auxiliary and I'm Navy, but I'm sitting across from what I believe are two Marines. So I'm a little, you know, a little nervous here because Marines always have to go someplace and the Navy's more than happy to take them there. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Water Relief Podcast from the Veterans for American Ideals, Scott.
Hi there.
And Joe.
How you doing?
Welcome, guys. Welcome to IRUSA. Welcome to the Water Relief Podcast. It is a joy and a pleasure to be here with you today.
Well, thanks so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
Thank you.
So did I nail that right? Both Marines?
You got it.
But both air wingers, so neither one of us were grunts.
So
we're not nearly as dangerous as we might think.
That's fair. I actually was an ABH Airedale when I was in the service, so all that Top Gun stuff, you know? Watched it one too many times growing up and said, I'm going to work on a flight deck. That was a huge mistake. Anyway. So we are here because we were introduced to your organization through that Samantha Bee piece on TBS that I talked about momentarily ago. A moment ago.
And the name of the show is Full Frontal, isn't it?
Yes, you are correct. Yeah. Full Frontal with Samantha Bee on TBS. Make sure to give them their props, you know? So why don't you tell us, what is Veterans for American Ideals?
Well, I think the best way to explain it is about a year and a half ago, we were brainstorming about how we can, you know, contribute. You know, there's a lot of great veteran organizations out there that do remarkable things advocating for veterans. But what opportunities are there for veterans to advocate for someone else? There's some great organizations out there like The Mission Continues and Team Rubicon. And we thought, that's something, you know, continuing the mission, continuing service after you take off the uniform. We got very concerned about some of the rhetoric we'd heard around the country from some just terrible, well, anti-Muslim bigotry, Islamophobia, and also some of the terrible rhetoric around refugees. And we thought, you know, this is something where we can raise our voices on this. So we started Vets for American Ideals, which is a group of veterans that, in a very nonpartisan way, are seeking to remind Americans that you know, we're safest and most secure when our actions match our ideals.
I like that. And that's good.
What kind of reception have you been getting so far?
You know, so far it's been pretty tremendous. We've had a couple initiatives that have really been our focus. You know, first has been in speaking out against this anti-Muslim bigotry that we've seen, but then also on the refugee issue. We've kind of approached it in a couple of ways. First, we've spent a lot of time trying to push hard on the Special Immigrant Visa Program that maybe you guys are familiar with, which assists former wartime allies, interpreters, translators, and others that serve alongside us in Afghanistan on renewing that program. But then also pushing back on a lot of the, you know, the rhetoric on refugees. If you look back a ways, you know, September of 2015, there was a lot of, you know, phenomenal, very good narratives on refugees and continuing to welcome them after that amazing photo, tragic photo of that young boy that washed up on the shores of Turkey. 2 months later after Paris, we somehow lost our minds. and so, you know, that was our effort. I mean, we had 32 governors that said that we need to stop welcoming refugees. And, you know, so far we've had some great reception. I think, you know, as you look at, you know, the country today, the thank you for your service culture of that, you know, less than 1% that serves in uniform, we're kinder, braver, better looking than we probably are in reality, because, you know, we get a lot of respect as a veteran. How are you going to use that? Are you going to use it just for a free lunch, or are you going to actually speak out and try to help, you know, continue your citizenship? And that's the vision we've had.
That's nice.
Who are you working in conjunction with? What other groups are you working with?
So we've partnered with, you know, a number of organizations. One, Islamic Relief, just reached out, and we've done some great work there.
Hi.
Some of the other ones that we've partnered with, Vietnam Veterans of America, are really passionate about protecting those interpreters and translators. I think there's a lot of Vietnam veterans that really feel like they broke faith with those. There's another great organization called No One Left Behind that was founded by Matt Zeller, that really is a grassroots organization that on the individual level is helping, you know, those former Iraqi and Afghan interpreters get settled into the United States. Another great organization is called IRAP, the International Refugee Assistance Project, that does a lot of work assisting people with their special immigrant visa cases, actually pairing them with law school students to help them through the paperwork morass of...
That's cool.
Yeah, and so it's really a great organization. It was a couple of law school students at Yale that had this idea and said, hey, we're going to do this. One of them happened to be an Army veteran, Mike Breen, who now runs the Truman National Security Project. But he and a gal named Becca Heller, that's their CEO, and then another guy named Walt Cooper, no relationship to me. He's much more, erudite and better looking than I am. But that's what they've started, is this IRAP organization. It's done some tremendous stuff.
That's awesome. Now, something I heard on the Full Frontal expose was that one of the people's concerns is that the money that is going for refugees could be going to veterans, in fact. And something that one of you said, or one of your organizations said, that money is not earmarked for helping veterans. So if you cut off helping refugees with that money, it's not going to get funded into veterans. How does all that work, or did I mishear it?
No, that's absolutely right. Any money that would be going towards resettling refugees, that doesn't come from the same pot of money that goes to veterans. And frankly, I mean, I think you see these two groups of people being pitted against each other for political reasons, which I think is very strange, because as you did see on Full Frontal, you have veterans who are saying, yes, we do need to take care of veterans, but we also need to take care of refugees. And I think there's some very, very good arguments for doing that. And a lot of our veterans can talk about why it makes sense from a not only just a national security perspective, why you should be welcoming refugees, but also from a moral perspective, upholding the moral legitimacy that we fought for, that is the primary reason that a lot of us joined the United States military.
No, and that's very true. I will say that when the conversation started with the certain states saying, we're not going to let you, if you bring refugees, they're not settling in my state. And I struggled with that because, you know, as a Navy guy, you know, I did Fleet Week a couple of times, and there's this big statue up there with this little plaque on it that says, "Give me your tired, your hungry, your weak, and your huddled masses." And when they say, not my state, I'm like, but isn't that what we were founded on? Isn't that our core belief from like 200 something years ago? Why are we having this conversation now? And that was actually one of the things that brought me to reach out to you guys, was because it's American ideals. And this, it really is. These are American ideals. The concept of, you know, give me your poor, your hungry, your huddled masses. That's an American ideal.
And it's more than that too. When that becomes difficult politically or strategically, to call yourself the home of the brave, well, you need to have to act brave.
It's very true.
Now, have you had any kind of a personal experience with anybody or seen how your organization has positively affected or influenced anybody?
Well,
you can share with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us a story.
The response after Samantha B was quite significant, and you know, they reached out to us, you know, kind of cold calling. I think they did a Google search of veterans refugees and came up with their organization, and suddenly we get this email from their senior producer, and I was like, what? Holy cow! But I'll tell you one story that I wish they could have included in there. One of the female veterans in there is Jessica Bell, who I served with in the Marine Corps. And she settled after she got out of the Marine Corps in the Detroit area in Oakland County, Michigan. And she has, you know, continued her service. She actually volunteers with Samaritas and has been matched with a refugee family from Sudan. And she's got two little girls now. They've become very close friends with the young children of that family. And, I mean, what she has seen just in her own individual work as a leader within Vets for American Ideals, I think has changed a lot of the narrative in her own community, which is really quite remarkable.
I don't know why we're filming, but for some reason I had the urge to look over and see if Fariha had any questions, but I don't know why I did that. So.
Does Fariha have any questions?
Okay, Fariha, do you have any questions? No, you're good for a minute? Okay, I don't know why I did that.
Is it something that we like to do? If there's anything that right now you have our mic, right now you have our listeners, if there's anything that's on your heart, anything that you want to speak, or anything that you feel that we should know or our listeners should know, please take that opportunity to do that now.
He's checking his watch before he starts speaking.
I just got so much to say.
I don't know about this.
You can't ask me that question.
The man has a list.
When I came up here to Washington, D.C. over the summer, I'm from Texas. And
whereabouts in Texas, if I may?
Dallas, by way of Austin. Okay. I was finishing up grad school there, and I came up here to complete a fellowship. And my supervisor had told me that there's this guy named Scott Cooper up here, working for a place called Human Rights First. And here I am, a Marine veteran, looking into national security policy, going to D.C. And I said, Human Rights First. Huh? I don't know why this would be a connection for me. I don't really understand what you know they'd have any interest in me for. Then I sort of realized that what Scott was doing here is tapping into a zeitgeist, which I think a lot of modern veterans feel when they come home, when they take off the uniform. And you're sitting on your couch with your DD-214, and you're saying, "What's next?" And you have this feeling.
You know,
your eyes light.
So here's my therapeutic moment for me. That is a moment that I struggled, and I had a really hard time with that personally. And I will say that it's actually why I have two honorable discharge plaques at home. One for the Navy and one for the New Hampshire National Guard, because I said I had that moment where I'm like, okay, now what?
That now what moment?
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure that out. And what I think came out and it has been coming out is there's a mission here at home. There's something that veterans can do here, and I think that you know Scott has really set up an organization that is a conduit to let us fulfill that mission, to be the voice of moderation, of civility, of unity in a time where I think we're just growing further and further apart. In the military, we grow close and close and closer. Absolutely. With our brothers and sisters in arms.
Absolutely.
From all faiths and religions and colors and creeds,
yes,
and backgrounds.
Yes, 100%.
And now America seems to be going in the opposite direction. Well, there's a mission there. And I think this organization is really tapping into that need to not only fulfill a mission, but, you know, use the values that we learned and fought for and sort of, you know, agreed to protect with our lives. And we can do that right here.
No, it's true. Honor, courage, and commitment. Those are words that I live by to this day. And, you know, I actually grew up in a Navy household, so the whole honor, courage, and commitment was beaten into me as a young child.
You know, I'm looking over at the banner that you have here for Islamic Relief that says "Working Together for a Better World." I spent 20 years in the Marine Corps, 15 and a half of which I spent in New Bern, North Carolina, either at Cherry Point or Camp Lejeune, the Marine bases down there. I kind of homesteaded in North Carolina, which is, you know, in the deep South. And the local church that I went to and raised my girls in was a Methodist church, and we had Religious Charities that was a local organization that ran soup kitchens and, you know, volunteerism and that really reaching out into the community. And Havelock and New Bern are, you know, two small towns of about, you know, 25,000. But that theme is exactly what Islamic Relief is doing at a local level. And so as you look at it, you know, in the Marine Corps, in the military, you know, in general, we all bleed green, you know. It's an honor-based system where you are judged by the content of your character. And there is nothing of your birthright that is judged. You know, it's how well you perform. You know, that, what I'd say, color blindness really thought that we, in fact, all are created equal, but then all have a mission to improve the community around us is exactly what's going on here with Islamic Relief. You know, why would not for instance, a Religious Charities local organization partner with, you know, the local mosque? In fact, we've got an event coming up on the 29th of January with the Muslim community in Baltimore that we're going to have Muslims and veterans coming together, having a conversation about, you know, the fact that all of us are, well, patriots no matter what.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
And so, you know, I think, you know, if of course, that Samantha Bee episode, you know, we're quite flattered at. But one of the things that Alana Harkin brought up is that getting to know a refugee, getting to know someone of the Muslim faith, you know, you recognize, oh, that person's just like me. And I grew into that when I left Wyoming, which is, you know, not a very diverse place.
What?
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm rooming with a kid from South Philly. And then another kid from Jamaica and a guy from the Bronx. And I'm like, oh, where did I land? And you realize, like, man, we're all the same here.
No, it's very true. It's very true. And, you know, I actually had that thought this morning that there needs to be some sort of outreach program of ask a Muslim or get to know a Muslim. Or I know there was one project I worked on that was a movie, and when they were filming in the movie, they wandered around and set up tables outside of these little small towns, and they held up a sign that said, "Hug a Muslim." And the two stars of the movie were offering free hugs as Muslims.
I've seen that one.
Yes. Yeah. No, I actually worked the U.S. social media for that movie.
Awesome.
So, yeah, no, that was fun. That was a blast. Tell me what... Totally just lost my train of thought.
What happened to my brain?
Yes. Tell me what happened to my brain. Morton, do you have any other questions while I try to remember what mine was?
Well, I may be skipping to, this usually happens at the end, but I'm going to throw it in because I don't want to forget because it's very important. What can people do? What can they do in reaching out to you, getting in touch with your organization or whatnot? Where can they find you? Or even apart from you, what can people do to help facilitate the good work that you're doing? This might include people who are veterans who don't know what, you know, they had that fraternity, that brotherhood, and now they're on their own, you know, outside of the military. This is something that they could probably come in and embrace as well. So what can people do?
That was a way better question because I remembered mine. His is way better. Let's go with that.
Awesome. Well, I think first of all, I'd recommend that they go to our website, which is vfai.org. And you can see, you know, a lot of our work, you know, some of the blogs, some of the great leaders that we've got. Reach out there. Consider joining if you're a veteran or even if you're not a veteran. You know, just sign up to our biweekly emails. You know, other things you can do, you know, that we've mentioned to folks, certainly you can write your congressman. And, you know, we've done a lot of work in advocacy there, one on the special immigrant visa program and also on refugee resettlement funding. You know, the only way that we're able to welcome refugees is that, you know, we fund those organizations that that do assist with refugees once they arrive here. I'd say the other thing you can do is reach out to your local community. Those organizations that help with refugees from Church World Service to the International Rescue Committee or the like are looking for volunteers and assistance. And, you know, that's something that you can certainly do. And then, again, if you reach out to us, we've got, you know, pods of leaders in all kinds of areas that, you know, can get you together and see about, you know, ways that you can contribute. We have several leaders, for instance, that have hosted some film screenings. There's a great film called Salaam Neighbor that we've purchased the screening rights to. That it's a group of journalists that spent a month in the Zaatari refugee camp in Jordan that really is remarkable. And that's a neat social setting where folks have had an opportunity, especially on some of the campuses around the country, that some of our leaders have done that. So that's what I recommend initially that folks can do.
Yeah, IRUSA actually sponsored a screening of that here in Virginia over in Merrifield at the Angelica. So, yeah, we're familiar with that movie here.
It's a good one.
Are you guys doing anything in Arizona since I'm here for a couple months?
You know, we've got a couple folks that reached out after Samantha B. That we've had a couple conversations with. So let me put you guys in touch because I think there's some opportunities there in Arizona.
Excellent. What was your question, Carl?
No, yours was still way better than mine. I just, you know, honestly, from a personal perspective, I'm really honored to be sitting here across the table from these two because, you know, as you said, I had that what now moment. And rather than struggling and rather than going through the personal issues that I went through, it's nice to see you guys lending a secondary voice to the conversation because, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? And so there's a lot of squeaky wheels out there making a real lot of noise that are not why I chose to serve. And it's nice to see all of this coming together. And I'm really honored that you guys are here today, that we're having this conversation, that we're taking a step forward with the Veterans for American Ideals and IRUSA. I don't know where the relationship goes, but I'm really happy that it's starting here with the four of us today.
Well, the feeling's mutual. We're so excited to be here. And also to see where this goes, because we've got a lot of work ahead of us.
Could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, I like to quote, I think is it Jed Bartlett, what's next?
I don't know, I was going to ask you,
Whatever that is, let's make sure that there's a next, that it doesn't end with just this narrative. This has been a wonderful conversation, but let's take it into some action and into actually doing things. Because that's where the fun begins. And the next 4 years is going to be very, very fun. Let's embrace that.
Not for any in particular reason, just we're going to have fun the next 4 years. That's all. We have to mind our 501c3 status. But that was a beautiful note to end on. Thank you for that segue, Morden. And
you're welcome.
With that, we will say thank you to Scott.
You're here. Thanks.
Thank you to Joe.
Thank you.
As always, Morden, thank you for taking the time to join us today from the Arizona where you are versus the 32-degree anticipating snow weather where we are.
I'm going to be in shorts in a little while. So.
Yeah, I got to go find my jacket. So, and with that, thank you all for listening, sharing, and repeating. Until next time, we will say Assalamu alaikum.
Or Mortimon. One of those two is correct.
I have messed this up yet again.
I didn't know where you were going with all of that as well.
What are we doing?
Let's do it badly and then we can do it better.
Oh, excellent. That's the way I like to do.
Dun, dun, dun. Spoiler alert.
Can we try that again? 1, 2, 3, together for a better world. More stories, less yap.
What?
Yup.
That was just, it was so real.